Please welcome the Shadow Secretary for Home Affairs for Labour, Tony Blair. So let's start with our first question. It comes from Alison Samuels. Where are you, Alison?
You've got the motto, tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime. Is there a real policy behind that, or is it just a slogan?
There is a policy behind it. What I believe that you require is to get away from this idea that you choose between either trying to prevent crime and deal with its causes, or simply punish the criminal, and that you want a criminal justice system that actually works and is functioning effectively, but also society that's prepared to act and cooperate in a much better way in preventing crime and tackling some of the underlying causes of crime and dealing with problems like the link between crime and drugs and so forth. And that's the general basis of the policy. And what we've done in each of the areas is try and put forward specific policies to back that up. For example, in relation to juvenile offenders and so forth.
I know I look a lot older. That's what being leader of the Labour Party does to you. Actually, looking round, some of you look a lot older. That's what having me as leader of the Labour Party does to you. In 1994, I stood before you for the first time. And I shared with you the country's anger at crumbling school buildings, patients languishing, sometimes dying in pain, waiting for operations, of crime doubled, of homes repossessed, of pensioners living in poverty. And I told you of our dismay at four election defeats and how it was not us who should feel betrayed, but the British people. That such a speech seems so dated today is not through the passage of time, but through progress.
Recently, I have had some reason to look into crime statistics, and I have come across something that I think will be of interest to anyone who is British watching this. On my last video, which was on Enoch Powell, I briefly showed this graphic, which is the UK homicide rate. Quite a few people in the comments wondered why the rate takes such a sharp dive after 2003. Now, I figured casually that these must have been the effects of Tony Blair's signature tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime agenda, one of the supposed successes of his time in charge. We have been told for a decade now that violent crime in this country is declining, even to the point where some are wondering how and why. So let's go back to this homicide graph and try to figure out what happened in 2003 to cause the reversal of the trend of the previous two decades. There are in fact two reasons for the sudden reversal. The first is that in 2003, serial killer and psychopath Dr. Harold Shipman was convicted for the murder of 172 people, which created a large spike in the statistics. Obviously, he did not kill all 172 people in that year, but that's how it is recorded, and so it created an anomaly. However, there is a second and much more sinister reason. We were long told about the slickness of Mr. Anthony Blair and his political machine, and how adept they were at controlling the media and its narratives. How, for example, the Lord of Darkness, Peter Mandelson, fiercely micromanaged how people appeared on television and how events were reported in the newspapers. But much, much darker than this, in 2002, the Labour Party permanently changed the way crime is reported in the UK. Up until that point, crime in the UK was reported using hard data on actual arrests and convictions. However, from that point onwards, the official statistics were drawn from the British Crime Survey, which produced a graph for Blair and Mandelson, which looked like this. Now, the survey seeks to measure the amount of crime in England and Wales by asking around 50,000 people aged 16 and over, and as of January 2009, living in private households, what the crimes they experienced were in the past year. From January 2009, 4,000 interviews were also conducted each year with children aged 10 to 15 years old, although the resulting statistics remain experimental. So that means that the statistics you see quoted in newspapers like The Guardian are not hard figures, but estimates drawn from these surveys, which is a little bit like how television companies estimate viewership numbers. Now, this change ostensibly came about because Labour, for some reason, wanted to count victims as opposed to total numbers of offenders. And, of course, this takes a huge number of crimes out of the data. For example, as it was introduced in 2003, because only over 16-year-olds could be interviewed, crimes against minors didn't count in the stats. Also, because interviews had to take place in private properties, it meant that street crime habitually would not show up in the numbers. And now, you're starting to see why this extraordinary change in the methodology would produce a downwards trend in the data. In fact, it was explicitly designed so that, because of all these caveats, it could not be compared with numbers before 2002, as we will get on to later. And of course, stuff like online crime or fraud cases, that is, so-called victimless crimes, will not show up in this data either. Now, back in 2007, Professor Keen Pease, former acting head of the Home Office's Police Research Group, and Professor Graham Farrell of Loughborough University estimated in 2007 that the survey was underreporting crime by about 3 million incidents per year due to its practice of arbitrarily capping the number of crimes one can be victimised by in a given year at 5. If true, the error means that violent crime might actually stand at 4.4 million incidents per year, an 82% increase over the 2.4 million previously thought. Now, I don't know if this is true or is not true, but perhaps that is the point. So because crime is now based on an estimate, no one is quite sure exactly what the real numbers are. Hence articles like this one from last year, where the BBC actively wonders about what the real crime rate is. And this is where the true extent of the Orwellian nightmare of the Blair and Gordon Brown years kicks in, because it seems clear to me that they deliberately introduced the element of doubt into the equation to make it so that neither side reliably could point to the facts. And so it became a question of interpretation, always a question of one difficult to substantiate narrative against another. Post-truth did not start with Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump. Tony Blair was doing it from the minute he stepped into office. Now, before the 2010 election, as the Tories were trying to get David Cameron into office, Chris Grayling, then Shadow Secretary for Justice, decided to call Labour on this total bullshit by requesting the hard numbers of arrests and convictions. This was reported at the time in The Telegraph and by the BBC, although it appears to have made no splash at all. It is not even clear if it was even a headline on that day, on the 9th of March 2010. Now, I hunted high and low to find that data that Grayling requested, and I found it. If you're interested to go to the website, it's the House of Commons Library, and you're looking for reports DEP 2010-0589, DEP 2010-0543, and DEP 2010-0544. Just to be helpful, I've also put them into a zip file, so anyone wishing to drill into this data can do so in their own time. Their contents are somewhat revealing. This is the number of male offenders from 1997 to 2008, so the entirety of the Blair years. Note that since this is done per offender rather than per victim, there can be no distortions because Harold Shipman counts as just one, not 172. Nonetheless, you can see the total number of convicted male murderers in 2008 is about 40% higher than the total number in 1997. Now, without doing any complicated formulas here to figure out the rate per 1,000 people or anything like that, we can ask a very simple question. Was the population of England and Wales 40% higher in 2008 than it was in 1997? The simple answer is no. About 58 million people for all of the UK in 1997 and about 62 million people in 2008. So that's an increase of just around 7%. So what if we look at the overall violent crime? You can see 49,153 in 1997. We can see a general increase until we get to 80,574 in 2008. That's an increase in males convicted of violent crime of about 64%. Whichever way you try to slice or dice this, that number is bigger than the 7% increase in population. And we can see increases like this across the board. So child sex abuse offences, for example, convictions for people under 18, knife crime practically doubled during the Blair years. In 1998, there were 5,542 robberies. In 2008, there were 8,475. And we can see in just London alone, which at that time was being run by Red Ken Livingstone, robberies went from 1,358 in 1998 to 2,748 10 years later. That's pretty much double the number of convictions for robbery in the capital. Did the population of London double during that time? Well, no. It increased from 7.18 million in 1998 to 7.56 million in 2008. That's just over 5% population growth and nowhere near double. In fact, most British people who lived in London moved out and have been replaced by a mixture of young professionals and international immigrants. Tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime, indeed. From the year 2000 to 2008, the total number of arrests for any offence at all went up from 1.2 million to 1.4 million. That's an increase of about 17%. And you'll note again that 17% is bigger than the 7% national population growth in the same time. So what happened to Chris Grayling, who flagged this up in 2010? Was there a big scandal? No, he was slapped down by the ONS, that's the UK Office of National Statistics, for making a couple of little errors. And basically nobody said anything. And then Chris Grayling himself became the Secretary for Justice under David Cameron. And as far as I can see, despite being completely aware of this, did absolutely nothing to change it during the David Cameron years. And this is still the way that crime statistics are arrived at in the UK. So what did we learn from all of this? Well, Tony Blair was guilty not only of gaslighting the British public over the question of whether or not Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. He actively lied to us about the real numbers of crime happening on our streets. Remember, I have been looking only at the numbers of actual convictions and arrests. These were the ones that the police actually caught, so God knows how many got away with it. Till next time.
And a very special thanks to Sir Percy Blakeney, the Crimson Satyr, Newry Nelson, Fonce, Graham Leggett, Ginger Bill, Michael Burt, Time Stealer, Blake Barrows, Bruno Liette, Tragic Vision, Charles Vincent, and Edward Darragh.